I'm Cole Kasdan, and this is another one. Story worthy.
Welcome to the Story Worthy Podcast. Here are your hosts, Christine Blackburn and Hannes Finn.
Welcome to Story Worthy. I am Christine Blackburn, and I'm here with
Hannes Finney, and we're coming to you from Harley-Davidson Motor Company in Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
I should have known.
The only motorcycle manufactured in the United States.
Is that true?
It is the only one left.
Are they still manufactured here?
They are still manufactured. They were still in Milwaukee.
Parts from other places, and they bring them here, and then they put them together here. Perhaps they're assembled here.
No, God damn it! It's all made in Milwaukee.
Well, that's great. That's
there's a bunch of guys drinking PBR and Natty Light, and they're putting together motorcycles. And I want you to just shut up, you commie.
I had PBR on draft the other day in a bar. Thank you very much.
I think it's funny how PBR has become a hipster beer.
It's such a hipster beer now. Yeah, you get in Silver Lake, it's like $7
a
draft.
Yeah, for a can. And it's always a can because they don't even make it in bottles anymore.
No, it's on draft,
and
man.
And it's so, or draft, and it's terrible.
Okay, no, I don't think so. Look, I'm drinking Coors Light right now.
Yeah,
so
you'll
the
drink
bar,
anything.
The bar is low.
Yeah, your bar is actually below the surface of the earth.
Ladies and gentlemen, I believe we're coming from the Harley-Davidson factory. Is it a factory, Hannes?
It is a whole manufacturing plant.
The whole manufacturing plant, because tonight our guest, Cole Kasdan, she brings forth the topic, motorcycle detour, Hannes. Motorcycle detour, that means it has to do with the motorcycle.
That's right, and hence, obviously, two things. The only motorcycle made in the United States, and since it's from Milwaukee, obviously, I had to bring us from there.
That's right.
And
okay.
We haven't been in Milwaukee in a while. It's been like 3 or 4 podcasts.
Yeah, no, yeah, exactly. Hardly any time at all. All right, so motorcycle detour. When I think of motorcycles, Hannes, I think of being young and really dumb. I've done some dumb things on motorcycles.
I have not had much experience with motorcycles, but I would like to hear your stories. So I'm guessing they involve riding topless through the woods
of
Pennsylvania.
Exactly right. Yes, that's exactly right.
Yeah.
But I remember moving to Colorado when I was 19, and there was this boy who was like 24, and he was so good looking. I mean, he's still in my head when I think of him. It's like, whoa, knees buckle. He was good looking. And his name was Brad, and he had a motorcycle. And he would take me up through Rocky Mountain National Park on this motorcycle. And what I thought was so amazing and so terrific is that there were no helmet laws in Colorado. And I don't think there are helmet laws even now. So you just had to wear
Dave's
sunglasses.
Not
right.
Here.
So we get to the top of Trail Ridge Road. Yeah. It's like, 11,500 feet or something. And we're in the Trail Ridge store. And I call my mom on a payphone. And I'm like, Mom, hi, it's Christine, how's everything in Colorado? Oh, it's great. I met this guy on this motorcycle. And it's like so amazing. And the best part is you don't have to wear a helmet. And my mom's like, whoa.
Yeah.
But boy, it was a lot of fun. Now, see, if my daughter wanted to ride on a motorcycle at all, I would kind of be bummed out. Well, but it's not, once again, it's not about the motorcycle driver, how well they drive. It's the fact that other drivers don't see them. Am I right?
I am. You are right. Also, but they always hear you on a Harley because it's insanely loud.
It is insanely loud. I'll say this about the Harley riders. They're wealthy people.
It's true. They are pretty expensive. Yeah, Harley is actually, it's like they got a lot of dentists buying Harleys.
Yeah, in other
there's
words,
like
it's
actual
not
bikers, and then there's dentists and their wives.
Yeah, it's
pretending
not like
to be bikers.
Suzuki, the Kawasaki, it's not the Honda. That's not the bike we're talking about.
No. This is a big-ass American. It's frankly, I think it's like way too loud, but like they've patented the sound of a Harley. It's a legal U.S. patent.
Is that right?
Yeah.
It's probably a ringtone as well at this point.
That would be pretty good when your phone goes off.
Have you seen the three-wheeled motorcycle? Or it's like a motorcycle, and it's like three wheels now.
I just think those are good, except that's not a motorcycle. So
what's the point? What's the point?
That's a tricycle.
It's like, let's go down the road in a different form of transportation. Why? Just ride in your car and shut up.
Right. Or get into a tiny little, European car and just,
That's complicated.
It's just like an enclosed, the car, I was going to say, was like an enclosed lawnmower. But the three-wheel bike is just like Yeah, you're wasting all of our time.
Yeah, it's like a wow factor for like about what, 9 months, and then that will fade away.
No, I've ridden, the longest I've ever ridden a motorcycle is probably about an hour. I was riding the back of a motorcycle. I got over it real fast.
Right. Now, was it the discomfort in your thighs, or was it the wind in your hair?
Everything about it was, you know, of course I was clutching a man, but you know, that's then not helping. But I think even if I were, you know, we were be driven by Sofia Vergara and I was clutching her breast to survive the drive, I still would be like, okay, but I could be inside a car where I'm not being buffeted by bugs. And I'm listening to music.
Right.
And I don't have the possibility of falling over
in case I have a seizure. And my belongings aren't in a saddlebag.
Yeah, it's like everything about it is...
I don't have to wear leather pants.
And these people who drive across the country in a motorcycle, I'm like,
angry about, honestly, Hannes?
I'm very, very angry. I drive, as you know, a good old-fashioned square Volvo.
Yeah,
I don't even like streamlined cars.
You are such a European car guy. You
right,
are very,
I like a big square car because that way I can really, I know my turning radius.
Yeah, you would rather have a Mercedes-Benz, am I right? You want a big steel car, don't you?
I don't think I want a Mercedes-Benz per se. I wouldn't mind, but the Volvo is right up my alley. The old Volvo,
of course. One more thing real quick about the motorcycle detour I wanted to say is so many people's parents ride motorcycles now. Like it's such a, almost like an old school thing that it kind of lost the cool factor. Now it's more like a practical
mode of transportation. I can't remember what they're called. They're called golden bikes or something. They're basically almost enclosed for like, you know, retired people to ride motorcycles.
No, but I'm just saying like people in their 25, if you know, people are 25 or 30 or 35 years old, their parents ride motorcycles all the time. Like it's not a big deal.
Right, so they're not going to be doing that. Yeah.
So they're not going to be doing that. I'm saying it's not a form of rebellion anymore. It's just good, good fuel sense.
The next level of rebellion will be the motorized unicycle that goes about 70 miles an
hour.
Ladies
and gentlemen, let's just hope fucking Cole Kasdan has a good story.
He probably has a story about riding a motorcycle and thinking it's awesome and that we're assholes.
Okay,
that's
listen,
just
before,
the way it usually goes around here.
Before we get to Cole, I did want to remind our listeners out there that we sure do appreciate your support. There's different ways you can support the podcast. The number one way, though, is to tell your friends about the show. Because you see, Hannes, then they tell a friend...
And they tell a friend, and so on, and so on,
and everybody has clean hair.
Everybody has wonderful hair.
And we're happy.
And it's 1978, and everybody has a fair ado.
If we could just
also,
pull
if
that
you
together.
Just want to give us money, that'd be awesome. Just go to our storybook,
yeah,
Storyworthy Podcast.
Go to Storybook
and give them money. No, go to storyworthypodcast.com and click on the donate, and just give us $5. Give us $10. Give us $100. Give us some money.
Or also you could shop through when you go to Amazon.com. Everybody shops on Amazon. Go through storyworthypodcast.com. Click on our banner. Then you are supporting the show.
Right. If you need to buy saddlebags for your Harley Davidson,
you need more fringe on your pants, we have that.
Sure.
Ladies and gentlemen, stay fringe wherever you are because Cole Kasdan is on her way here.
Storyworthy tweets. So join us on Twitter and be our friend on Facebook.
I'm Michelle McNamara, and you're listening to the Storyworthy Podcast.
We're back. We've actually left the manufacturing plant and gone downtown to the Iron Horse Hotel, which is the Harley Davidson Hotel in downtown Milwaukee, right across the street from the Harley Davidson Museum. So we're going to go order a Pabst Blue Ribbon right after this show.
And I'm going to be purchasing the Harley Davidson socks, also the underwear, the matching camisole, the sports jacket, the winter jacket, the summer sweater.
Right. It is the only camisole made of leather.
That's exactly.
It's interesting.
No, it's called a bustier, honey.
Oh, sorry. Excuse me.
Ladies and gentlemen, Cole Kasdan's here right now. She's got a story for us. She is a 3-time Emmy-winning television news producer. She's also a writer and a performer. Now, recently, she's won quite a few Moth Grand Slam. Oh, well, no, she's won a lot of Moth Slams, story slams, and then she also won the Grand Slam. And Hannes,
yes,
that got my attention.
It did get your attention. You know why?
I'm a big
fan of
Moth.
Because you love the Moth and you love Grand Slams.
I've worked in a lot of them. I've been in 3 of them, but I never won one.
Oh, you will.
I do like the Grand Slam at Denny's. I'll say that. Anyway, so I'm really glad that she could make it. Right now, she's working with ABC News. And so I'm anxious to ask her if she's like a news junkie, Hannes. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, so I used to be a news junkie. I kind of got over it.
Yeah.
In election nights, I still can't. I just watch TV all night long.
But that's American. That's a.
I don't think a lot of people. I will watch it for hours and hours and hours, and there'll be like no information.
Why don't we talk to Cole about what she thinks? Shall we do that?
Yeah, whatever.
She's also a graduate of Northwestern University and Columbia's Graduate School of Journalism. How about that?
Ooh.
She also knows Kung Fu. Who knew?
I went to Evanston. I'm somebody.
You can find her at ColeKasdan.com. So, ladies and gentlemen, wherever you are, put your hands together for Cole Kasdan.
Dating a man with a motorcycle was a departure for me. I'm not exactly biker babe material. I'm more like bookworm babe material. I don't own nearly enough leather to date a biker. But when I met Hugh, he was unlike any of my preconceived stereotypes of bikers. He was polite, he was smart, he didn't wear a lot of bandanas. And I got hooked fast to the motorcycle. This feeling of freedom and possibility, flying 90 miles an hour down the freeway, the wind and the sun in your face. And that's just like going to Gelson's. Everything became this incredible adventure. And I was getting hooked on Hugh too. He was kind and wise and we had fun together and he made me feel safe on and off the motorcycle. Which is why 6 months later, when we had a motorcycle accident 40 miles from the middle of nowhere in Baja, Mexico, I questioned not only whether I could be a biker babe, but whether I could be Hugh's biker babe. We had been dating a few months when Hugh invited me on a 10-day motorcycle trip along the Baja Peninsula. It was adventure with a capital A, and I don't do things like this. And it was romantic, riding down Highway 1, staying in tiny towns I'd never heard of, swimming in the Sea of Cortez, all of our belongings packed tightly on the motorcycle. I felt, for the first time in a relationship, that I was on a team. We were our very own nation state, in this strange country, figuring it out together, that we could do anything. Until we took a detour to see these fucking whales that almost ruined the whole trip. There are these whales, these amazing gray whales, and once a year they migrate down from heaven, apparently, the way people talk about it, and they give birth to their young in this one lagoon in San Ignacio this one week in March, and if you blink, you miss it, and then they swim back to sit at the right hand of God, and people plan their whole trips around it, but we just happened to be there right at that time. And I don't mean to sound like a whale hater, because I like whales, I love animals, but there was almost this tourist peer pressure about it. Like, you have to see the whales, they're amazing, you're a fool if you miss them, you will be forever changed. And I didn't want to miss this once-in-a-lifetime thing, but getting to the whales by motorcycle was actually quite dangerous. The road to the whales was off the beaten path, which is fine in a car, but on a motorcycle, hitting dirt, or worse, sand, you really risk going down. Sand for a motorcycle is like ice to a car, especially with two people on the bike when there's more weight on it. But then the 100th person told us we had to see the whales and that the road was fine, so we made an executive decision to detour. It was a 40-mile drive on dirt, which wasn't solid. It stopped being solid about 20, 25 miles in, which was sort of too far to turn back. And then we hit sand, and I could feel the bike wanting to go down. I was holding my breath to keep still, and I could hear Hugh in front of me willing himself to speed up, which is this counterintuitive thing you have to do on a motorcycle when the bike starts to lose balance. You go faster for the momentum to sort of keep you upright. And I could hear him talking himself through it, like, you are not going down, you are not going down, throttle through. I mean, I was terrified. I did not sign up for this. I signed up for, like, guacamole. And now I was taking my life in my hands. And then the ground started getting more solid. We had made it through the worst part. I could see the ocean. I saw a handmade sign, Las Ballenas, the whales, with an arrow to turn off the road. And we had made it. But in that moment, we hit a patch of sand and we went down. We weren't going that fast, but we went down hard. My head smacked against the ground and bounced back up. I mean, thank God for our incredible helmets. And then we're trapped sideways, you know, underneath this 500-pound motorcycle. I wormed my way out from under it, and I did this quick mental scan just for broken bones and bleeding. I was in pain, but I was okay. Hugh could feel that he broke a few ribs. Another tourist saw us go down and circled back and helped get the bike up. And we walked it over to the beach where you get the boats to go out. I didn't want to get on the bike ever again. which is not the best feeling to have when you're only halfway through your romantic motorcycle adventure with your boyfriend. But I didn't care. That feeling of falling, I just couldn't shake it. I wanted to go home. I didn't want to be on the team anymore. I wanted to save myself. I wanted to catch a bus back into town, even though there was no bus and there really wasn't even a town. Hugh and I didn't say anything to each other for what felt like a really long time. He was shaken too, but not about his own fall or his broken ribs, but about what had happened to me. We sat in the sand and he wept. He was furious with himself for taking the detour. He never wanted to put me at risk in any way or to jeopardize my safety. And even though I didn't say anything yet, he told me that he would understand completely if I wanted to find another way back, if I wanted to go home, if I didn't want to be on the team anymore, and if I wanted to catch a bus back into town, even though there was no bus and there really wasn't a town. But when he gave me that out, it made my feelings change. Something bad had happened that was beyond our control. But then I realized who better to be with in that situation than the person you trust and love more than anyone in the world, someone who wanted to take care of me. So I told him I was in. So we saw the whales, which were amazing. And you have to go. If you're in San Ignacio the first week of March and you don't see them, you're a fool because they are magnificent and it will change your life. These mothers and babies dancing in the lagoon. I mean, you're on this motorboat close enough to touch them. And then we had to go back to retrace this treacherous 40-mile detour that we came from over dirt and rocks and sand. It was bumpy and shaky and scary. But I put my arms around Hugh's waist, and I felt like I was on solid ground.
Wait a minute. Did he ride the motorcycle back with broken ribs?
Yes.
So you got back in the same night?
Yes.
Did you go to a clinic?
In San Ignacio, Laguna Santa Ignacio. Well, that was my fear. I mean, when we fell down, I was just having these visions of being airlifted where? But broken ribs are something that they're horribly painful, but there's no way.
Wow. Don't worry. That was just the sound guy. That's the sound guy. That's his problem.
Hang on. He's starting to fart.
He's got to edit that shit out. That's not my problem. That's on his dime. So there's no cure for broken ribs.
You just have to wait it out. You have to sleep sitting up.
Did you take your pants off and bind them to his chest? I mean, come on.
Come on, give me something in the story.
I didn't.
No, but did he do anything? I mean, it just sounds terribly painful to have to go back on a bike.
Horribly painful. But there's really nothing you can do about it.
So then you take the bike back to the rental place and you say what?
It wasn't a rental. It was our motorcycle.
No, they had traveled all the way into
Los Angeles.
On his
California,
bike.
Oh, yeah. The same bike.
Yeah.
He owned that bike.
He's a lifetime motorcyclist.
Is this his first time accident?
Yes.
And what happened with that relationship with that man?
I married him.
You
dun dun dun. Buried the lead.
No, really, this is the guy you married.
This is the guy
and
I married.
And how far were you into your relationship?
Probably 6 months, maybe a little less.
Wow, that's a good story. I mean, in terms of, you know, you were dating and this
happened. That'll be good for the kids, yeah.
Yeah, it would be really nice for the kids. So then how much longer later did you get married?
Probably another year.
Does he still ride a bike?
Yeah.
And how far does he ride now, like commute on a motorcycle?
Yeah, and he always has. And not a Harley, I just want to say, even though we're here.
Yeah, that's okay. No. What kind of bike is it?
Hey, get the hell out of here, God damn it.
Sorry about that.
BMW.
Oh, wow.
Motorcycle.
Fancy.
And,
okay, it's German. That's okay.
So does he commute like to Santa Monica or where does he, is there a distance?
Yeah. I mean, he doesn't have a car. I have a car. He has a motorcycle.
How interesting.
And,
what kind of car do you have?
Honda Civic. I don't like to brag.
What is that question? What kind of car do you
have?
That
just made me see, what does she have? The safest car in the world, the Honda Civic. It's like, honey, I love you. I'm getting a fucking motorcycle again. There's no fucking way.
So do you...
Yeah, instead of a wedding ring, she actually said, you will present me with a Honda Civic with full airbags.
And a life insurance
and then
policy.
Then I will marry you. Otherwise, forget it.
But I have to say, when you are on... And I had never dated anyone with a motorcycle. It was such a foreign thing to me. It's so much fun, your experience of a place, because you're out... And people ask me, do you get bored on the back of the motorcycle?
No.
Never. Because you're looking at the mountains.
It's almost like when you ride a motorcycle and you get off the bike, do you feel like perhaps you've gone on a hike or maybe done something strenuous? You know, like you had a workout.
No. But when we... No.
There's an energy level, isn't there?
I want to say more, but the answer is just
no.
There's
an energy level.
That's what
like,
I like to call the essence of improv.
No, but it's like,
no,
woo.
Shut up.
Time for lunch.
Not yes,
the
man.
The answer's no. Yeah, no, I want a yes, and desperately, but I also want to be honest.
Well, I just feel like it's a sort of like an adventure. Like, there, we accomplished that, and now we're at the cafe. Let's have a nice meal, and we'll continue on our way.
I get
everything
like that.
About this story, let me just say, sounds like a fucking nightmare. I could have predicted all of these problems, and I would have been fucking pissed, and then we'd be on the side of the road, and I'd be standing over, in my case, my girlfriend or something. I'd be like, do you fucking see what happens when you ride a motorcycle into
Hannes
a foreign country?
Is not really an outdoors kind of person.
No.
Hannes doesn't have a Swiss Army knife on him at any time.
No, I do not. And if I
he
did...
He also likes transportation, you know, more...
I enjoy transportation.
Cars,
buses, being in places
metros.
Where I can... Yeah, it's like, actually, I mean, the closest I ever came to this is when my mother was it was having a chemotherapy in Germany. I was living over there. It's another podcast. And so I was driving her car, an old Opel. So I'm driving on the Autobahn, where there are no speed limits. So on the right-hand side, you drive, and the left-hand side is only passing, and old women are passing you at 170 miles an hour. Anyhow, this car just fucking goes, and I barely get it off the Autobahn. And it's like, I was that close to being the number one news of the entire country of Germany, with my car just dying in the Autobahn and getting rear-ended. And that was bad enough for me. So I'm not driving a fucking motorcycle to Mexico. Don't ask me. Don't divorce your husband and ask me.
That was like a close call car accident, Hannes. That had like nothing to do with real danger. That wasn't like a motorcycle or like, you know what I mean? That wasn't like a foreign country. I mean, it was
a foreign country,
but it wasn't a third world. It wasn't a Baja Mexico situation.
That's what I'm saying is I was pissed then. Imagine if I was lying on the side of the road.
Yeah.
Looking at some fucking whales. Hey, whales. Fuck you.
Where I would go with you, Hannes? I would go to Paris with you.
That's
I would go
exactly
to New
right.
York with you. I would go to Berlin with you. Here's where I would not go.
Yeah.
Yosemite, Rocky Mountain
right.
National Park, Malibu.
Hey, you and your ex-husband, you're like, hey, we're going out of town before you had a kid. We're going out of town for the weekend. What are you doing? We're going to go to Catalina and camp. What are you, fucking retarded?
Hey, that was a goddamn nice trip.
We
got along well.
Yeah, we're going to leave one of the biggest cities in the world and go to an island where there's buffalo and just fucking live in a tent.
That's exactly right, Hannes. That's called beauty. That's called nature. That's part. Put it in your soul. Take that and cook it.
That is bullshit.
Ladies and gentlemen, Cole Kasdan's here, and I have a question for you, Cole. You have done a lot of writing. You've done some one-woman shows. You've done a lot of producing, and then you also toured nationally as a dancer. So what would you, and you've also been a voiceover Ooh. Artist, what would you really, I mean, if somebody said, hey, tomorrow I'm going to give you this, what would you like that to be?
As in terms of what I would like to be doing?
A career, and you know, like...
I think just, I love writing and performing, and I think that would be it.
But I mean, writing to get published, writing books, writing fiction.
Journaling.
But what was the...
No.
I want to hear about the dancing.
Just,
what
yeah,
kind of dancing
blogging.
Did you do?
Just my own thoughts.
Yeah.
No, I think storytelling, and I loved doing the one-woman show thing. It was very, very
one
fun.
Of your one, you have two one-woman shows. One was the Cole Kasdan Amnesia Project, and the other one, and this is, of course, the one we're interested in.
Of course.
My Year in Porn.
Yes.
Not My Year in Porn.
Porn.
My Year of Porn.
Hey.
Porn. Well, listen, Hannes and I, we dubbed French porn together.
Sexy.
It was sexy, and it's called
yes.
Ball Busters 2, and you can look that up, and we both got
yeah,
paid.
Yeah, I got
so.
That. Yeah, we both got a $100 check signed
I got 120
by Larry
Flint.
Larry Flint. And I was almost like, I'm not even going to cash this. I have a check signed by Larry Flint.
I cashed it.
And it was
it.
Like, basically, as I always say, it's like we dubbed the part of a porno that no one has ever listened to.
Right, because
the
it was
story
the
dialogue. Yeah.
Because
like people are like, you know
right.
what I want to see is I want to see why are they in this situation. Let me listen to the badly dubbed.
So in other words, I wasn't going like, I didn't have to ooh and ah because
right.
that's in all languages, isn't it, Cole?
Yes,
yeah,
it's universal.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
But I had to say things like, you know, Jeff, your cousin's here. I don't think she should be here. Where should she sleep? Like that.
We don't have
thing.
Enough shirts for everybody.
Yes.
That's
I'm
sexy?
So cold. If only I had a shirt. Well, tell us about your porn. I want to hear about
yeah,
your...
Yeah, so let's hear about
Well, I worked for about a year and a half on a documentary series called Pornucopia for on HBO.
I love that name.
And I just spent a lot of time on porn sets and saw a lot of porn.
And where was this at? In New York or here?
Well, I was living in New York at the time, but we were shooting it all out here in the
Chatsworth.
San Fernando Valley.
Yes, Chatsworth.
Yeah, a lot in Chatsworth, Canoga Park. And then they rent fancy houses in Malibu and... so we were just following different characters and it went just a lot. I just spent a lot of time on porn sets. And the one woman show was kind of like in response to my friends would just, when I would get home, put a bottle of wine and a glass in front of me and say, we have questions.
Yeah. I would say
I saw a lot of porn. That to me is a completely different, you were on porn sets. So you porn being made, that's completely different than, that's like, I ate sausage. I saw sausage being made. These are two completely different things.
Watching I cannot believe this is the comparison you draw. What the fuck is wrong with you, Hannes? Honestly, porn and sausage. This is your glory.
This, if I could eat sausage and watch porn at the same time, but I can't because that's too homoerotic.
Let's phone it into your fiance and we'll see. And you know, if she wants you to do that or lets you do that, I think you should marry her.
Oh, I'm going to marry her.
When?
But she doesn't. At some point. But
this is ongoing, like, Cole. It's ongoing.
It's ongoing. But no. So tell us more. It's okay. You're on the set. So tell us a couple of good stories. The two best stories, three best stories from this whole thing.
Okay, I have two.
I'm sorry. We need three, or you'll have to leave.
I have
we'll
three.
Erase this entire podcast.
I've got 15.
Right, I bet.
I was on set once and. A guy and a girl are having sex, and the guy who was all the guy, many of the guys that I ran into in this were ex-Marines.
Oh,
I would
hot.
Always, even
huh.
if I never
totally
talked to them, I would
hot.
Always see a Semper Fi tattoo. I was like, oh, how about
I'm
that?
On board.
How about that?
Yes, I'm with you.
And and the guys would talk about the incredible discipline you needed to have to do this, because you're shooting a sex scene sometimes for a couple hours.
Yes.
And not in a sexy way. But, you know,
right. You're not,
has
yeah.
their, you know.
Yeah. 2 hours in, you're probably like,
yeah,
I wish I could stop
and,
having sex.
Right. At least, so anyway, so the guy turns to the director and he says, so when you want me to pop? And the director says, you know, I have all the angles I need, just whenever you're ready. He said, all right, I'll let you know when I'm 30 seconds away. And
30 second notice.
Everyone kind of stands down. The cameraman put down his camera and someone right. went to the craft service and went to have a snack. I mean, no one was shooting anymore, but they're still having sex. And he's kind of telling her what he needs her to do to get him there. And they're just
Of, they're not filming anymore.
They're not filming because they just need the shot. And then all of a sudden... couple minutes later, the guy says, all right, I'm 30 seconds away. Cameraman gets the camera. They start rolling again. And 30 seconds later, I mean, the timing.
A professional.
Professionals.
I'm impressed.
I mean, really
I
professional.
That.
So
that's the discipline of a Marine.
Yes.
See, what I like about that story is I think any woman listening to this is going, I'd like to have that kind of notice.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm like, I want to know. Tell me
not
when you're 30
that,
seconds.
I'm just the Marine.
Because I'm thinking about my laundry. I'm, you know, doing a couple of Kegels and thinking about what I got to do tomorrow and thinking this is going on forever. You tell me I got 30 seconds. You're like, all right, I'm in for a full 30 of pretending I'm enjoying this.
That's beautiful.
Can I just tell you one time I went out with this guy and we were so, we had, just, it was like just finished sex, and within, honestly, about 30 seconds, he rolls over, takes the remote control, and says to me,
yeah,
Friends is on.
Oh.
And he turns on that show, Friends. And I said, you know what? This isn't going to work. This is not going to work out.
Because you also,
was he thinking
about
it? I got to hurry up and finish.
Yes,
because Friends is almost done.
Oh, he was so aware of the Friends moment
coming
on. Wait
a minute, this wasn't the guy who worked on the show Friends, was it?
No, this is, no, that was.
Okay, because she dated a guy who actually wrote for Friends.
No, that was a different guy. No, this is before DVR as well.
Was it when Friends was network or CW syndication?
This is network. It was an important time.
Important time.
We couldn't, unless you had a VHS thing where you could record.
Right, which is even worse.
Right, which is even worse. Okay, listen, we got to wrap this up, but what kind of dancer were you?
I did ballet, jazz, all, you know, all the dancing that you do when you're a little girl.
Yeah.
And then when I was older, I did jazz and then kind of fell into Brazilian folkloric dancing. Which
sure, because that's where the money is.
What?
it was just this kind of random thing. I went to a couple of classes when I was living in New York, and I got really into it. And I went down to Brazil and danced with their ballet folklorico in Brazil.
You're so creative. You just have so much creative juices coming out of you.
Thank you.
Whoa, hey.
No,
this
you
is not a porn story.
And
this
then,
is
not and a porn then, story. And we got to wrap it up, man. We got to wrap it up.
Oh, wait, said you had two stories. Do we have time for the second story?
I have one more question. What about the news? Are you a news person? Do you enjoy news? I know you work on the news.
Yes, I do. Sometimes I enjoy, I guess I don't know if I would say I'm a news junkie. I've been working in news for so long. It's just such a part of my life. But when there is something big and breaking, you just really feel a sense of purpose.
Okay, and so I have this friend who's an anchor, Sandra Mitchell, Neil Bobel's wife, Hannes.
Yeah, she
Channel
works on
two,
Channel
or
9,
Kcal,
Channel 2.
Channel Kcal. So she is such a news person. She's an anchor, but she's also so into it. So I remember when President Reagan died, and she's just like, I've got to get to the station. Like, it's just like, I she's part of it. Do you feel a part of it?
I do.
Because you're the one translating it, I guess.
For better or for worse. But there also is something, I think, addictive, whether this is a good or bad thing, about you are in the middle of the action. Something has happened, and you're just going to find out everything you can. There's something like information hungry. I'm not articulating it very well.
Shit, Hannes, maybe we should have been in the news, you know?
Whatever.
But it's different. When I was younger, I find recently, even in the past couple of years, something will happen. It's a big shooting, and I got to get there. And then if you wait 5 minutes, I kind of don't want to get in the middle of it, because then it can get, it's sometimes the energy of it can be, I think, detrimental.
Well, there's a lot of bad people, aren't
right.
there?
Yeah. Christine, you have a different version of this. You like to, like, you watch show, what's that show? Not Buried Alive.
Intervention.
No.
I love to have a bottle of red wine. I love a bottle of red wine and Intervention.
Right.
That's what I like.
Locked Up Abroad.
And I also love Locked Up Abroad because I love to think to myself, like, I will never do hash in Indonesia. I'm not going to smoke hash in Indonesia. I'm not going to smuggle it. So I won't get busted that way. Would you like to play some Shotgun Story Worthy?
I would love to.
That music can only mean one thing. It's time for Shotgun Story Worthy.
The game show where contestants spin the story worthy wheel of truth and tell a true 1 minute story on the topic they land.
So everyone, say it with me.
Spin that wheel.
Faith. Well, I did have a friend in New York once who tried to convert me to her set, like a kind of meditation chanty cult. It wasn't harmful. They didn't ask me for money, but she said, "Yo, do you want to come to this?" Sure, I'll come. Like, you know, I'm pretty open-minded. I worked in a porn documentary. I'll come to your chanting. You know, what's it going to do? And they were also nice and didn't ask me for money and just wanted to be my best friend. They were so nice. Ugh. And then when the little meeting or, you know, chanting was over, then I got kind of accosted. And they were like, "Are you coming next week? You're part of us now." And I got very freaked out and obviously never came back. But they were so nice. It's very hard when people are nice and not asking you for money not to be in a cult.
You know what? That's so true. I was a Christian for about a minute and a half. And the people were so goddamn nice, and a lot of the men were handsome, and the women were hot, and I thought, this is something to be a part of. These are great people, you know? And it really, there is something about that, and maybe they are nice people, Cole. Maybe they are.
I couldn't do it.
I know, but there is a sense of community.
I guess there's something that feels a little false, because it's, you know, get to know me, and don't like one thing about me.
Oh, interesting. In other words, why are you being so nice?
But from their point of view, they're just probably thinking, we're all God's creatures. Why wouldn't we be nice to you?
Right.
But I'm like, you know what?
Anything that ends with the phrase, you're one of us now, cannot be a good thing. But you know what? I have the same reaction to that invitation that I would have to the invitation to ride through Mexico on the motorcycle. It's like, I'm not coming to your fucking prayer circle. It's like, this is going to end horribly. I can see
it. But, Hannes, would you say you've always been like that, or that's you now?
No,
I've what are you, a 67-year-old man?
I've always been a 42-year-old man.
No.
Always.
So even when you were like 18 or 7 or whatever, and you were 22,
when
you
I was
were
in
still
high school,
cynical. You knew.
I knew. You could call it cynicism, or you can call it seeing the world the way it is. I'm
street
actually
smarts.
Less cynical than I used to be. When I was 18, I'm sure I was unbearably cynical.
Because this is your mother, because she was kind of the worldly one, right? And she was the smarter, of your parents, and so you got it from her, is that right?
Yeah, I don't know. That's a tough one. I think that it came from... See, my mother actually was sophisticated. However, she was very, I don't want to say childish, but she was still a child in her brain in many ways, because she was grew up being bombed by the Allies in World War II. So it's like she never had a childhood. So she would actually be very, I would see her exhibit behavior that should be eight.
Like
you
no frivolity.
50. Not that, just like no, reacting like a child. Like I didn't get what I want.
Oh, it's like, I see.
And when your parent doesn't act like an adult, it fucks you up.
But did
which
she,
is pretty standard, you know, psychology.
Did she ride a motorcycle? I mean, I'm just...
No, but she did, in fact, set a motorcycle on fire and say, how do you like that? So I don't know. That may be something to do with it. I don't know.
She want to come to a meeting?
Yeah, right.
You're one of us now. Set fire to your motorcycle.
Cole, you work with ABC News. Do you meet the people like Dan Sawyer? Do you meet these folks?
Yeah.
And good people, they
yeah,
gotta
absolutely.
Be, right?
Absolutely. Good, smart people, love their jobs, really dedicated.
Intelligent.
Yeah.
Isn't that nice?
Yeah, exactly what the fucking, you know, I mean, not to go off on a rant about the right wing or Fox News, but these people, they're like, they hate journalists.
They're not
it's
sincere.
It's so weird.
Yeah, they're not.
I'm talking about people who watch Fox News. I'm sorry, I didn't say that particularly well. It's like people are like, well, you can't listen to the left wing media. It's like, no. These people, it's not an agenda. They love doing this shit. They love finding truth and telling you stories. They really like it or they wouldn't be doing it. And they it's like it's not a giant plot to take
right.
your guns away.
And it's nice to
psychopath.
Walk into work and know that everyone there has read the paper.
Mm-hmm.
That you have to read. There's just a standard of being informed and knowing things and learning things that I love.
So ColeKasdan.com.
Yep.
That's convenient.
It is.
I'm glad you have that. Why? What do you mean you have to spell it, Connors? Everybody knows how to spell
it. Kasdan, we thought it was spelled like Lawrence Kasdan, but it's not.
I know. Alas.
Okay, KAZDIN.
Yes,
there, now we've done that. All right, we got to wrap this up right now. I would like to say thank you to, first of all, John Thomas Griffith. You know this guy, Connors. He wrote the theme song, Follow Me.
He's great. Oh, wait, I don't know who he is.
I'd also like to thank our sound engineer, Jorge Reyes, doing a darn good job for us every darn week. And, of course, Joe Slepsky. He helps us out with the show every week as well. What else? Oh, we've got a storyteller here. She's a professional. Thanks, Cole, for coming on.
Thank you,
guys.
Thank you
so much.
Nicole. Thank you. That's short for Nicole.
Secrets
good information.
Out.
That's right. And on behalf of you, Hannah Spinney, my dear friend and co-host, my name is Christine Blackburn, saying, make it a story-worthy week.
Thanks for joining us on the Storyworthy Podcast. We'll be back next week with all new stories. Subscribe to Storyworthy on iTunes and visit the Storyworthy website at storyworthypodcast.com.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.